Christmas decorations are popping up all over, and there's a particularly intense clustering of them at the Armory in Medford this week. The Providence Festival of Trees returns to the Armory. As the name implies, it is all about Christmas trees decorated in catchy and often unusual ways. And as the very first part of the name implies, it is connected to Providence Medford Medical Center. The connection runs through an entity called the Providence Community Health Foundation, for which Katie Shepherd is the executive director, and she's our guest here in the studio. Welcome back to The Exchange, Katie Shepherd.
Thank you. Good morning.
Providence Festival of Trees, I realize, is now in its third decade. It's, 23 years old, 25 years old?
This is our 24th year. It's amazing. And we've got big plans for next year, of course, excuse me, coming up to the 25th year, big silver anniversary.
How did it all get started? This is not a usual run-of-the-mill kind of fundraiser idea.
Well, it was someone's idea, I think. This had been happening all over the West Coast, and we've got counterparts in Portland and in Seattle that do this kind of event. And someone brought it to Medford, really great opportunity to engage the community and raise funds for the hospital. It came to Providence Community Health Foundation as the main fundraiser for this foundation every single year.
So how much money does it bring in?
So last year we brought in more than $523,000. This year we're aiming for that same amount. We're hoping the weather will cooperate with us. A few years ago, if you remember, we got hit with a big snowstorm, and that did kind of hurt the totals, but the community was still quite generous, and so that's what we're hoping for this year.
What is the mechanism for the income? I mean, how does the money come in?
That's a great question. So these trees have been decorated by amazing designers, professionals, and so on, businesses of the community, and we auction them off. The whole event is sponsored by outstanding partners in the community, and then we'll have a party Thursday night and then open it up for public viewing through the weekend. So a little bit of revenue from the ticket sales, obviously, but a lot from the auction gala, which is Wednesday, tomorrow night.
What's the record for the highest price paid for a Christmas tree?
You know, gosh, between some of our playhouses and the trees, it's been over $12,000 for one.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think this year we might top that. We've got a special 1981 Corvette that's been donated by the Home Builders Association. We're hoping someone might fancy that for a midlife crisis or want to park it in their garage. And so we're hoping that will bring in more than what we've seen as records before.
So more than Christmas trees at the auction.
Yes. Yeah, right. It's going to have Santa and a tree in it, though, so it'll look pretty Christmas. So
everything will be Christmassy. Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned playhouses, too.
Yeah. The Home Builders Association used to pull together playhouses for us. Every year they like to do something a little different, and this is what they've brought this year, is that Santa's Wheels, we call it, 1981 Corvette.
How many hours of work go into the festival? And I'm not just talking about the event itself, but if you total up the number of hours on each tree on display there.
That is a fascinating question because, gosh, from individuals who work all year long on their tree, we have people who worked on their tree last year for this year. So this tree's been in the works for over a year. We have folks that hand make their decorations. There's one gal who used all recyclable materials, so she didn't spend any money on anything. It was a recycled tree. She has gone through and made things out of old denim. And so the tree is called Worn Out. It's by Tina Rister, part of the Master Recyclers program. And it's just really exciting to see how creative people can get, that they don't necessarily have to spend money on decorations. They come up with their own. She's spent hours and hours. I hope she can give us a total of how many hours coming up with these handmade ornaments.
Now, it's the 24th Festival of Trees this
24th.
Year. How many have you been involved with?
This is my third now.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I was a judging chairperson years ago. I did that for about 3 years. And that's the nice part about this event. It takes hundreds of volunteers literally to pull it off. So all the way from decorating the trees to being what we call tree angels during public viewing, we've got 20,000 people that'll walk through the door. So we need to make sure that these items that have been auctioned off on Wednesday are not touched or manipulated through the weekend. So those tree angels will sit and supervise certain trees. A good example, last year we had a Frozen tree with an Elsa doll and all the fabulous characters from that movie. And, of course, everybody wanted to touch.
Mommy, I want.
Yeah, her. Mommy, yes. I want. Yes. So we love our tree angels very much.
Tree angels is nicer than Christmas tree bouncer, I guess. Is
that's
that,
true.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes, that's true.
Katie Shepherd's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the executive director of the Providence Community Health Foundation based in Medford. We're talking about the Festival of Trees with the big gala coming up tomorrow and then public viewing starting Thursday, is it?
Friday.
Friday.
Correct.
Friday. At the Armory in Medford. You can join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. What kinds of guidelines, if any, do you set up for tree creators?
You know, we want the themes to be different and varied every year. We also ask for their ideas in advance to make sure it's something that someone would either want to purchase, of course, for their home or business, or it would be something interested for the public to view. So we get their ideas in advance. They don't actually put the trees together until today, in fact. So we don't get to see exactly what they look like until the day before the event. So it's pretty fun. Today is the big day where they're all decorating the trees.
Really? So yeah. But they may have had these together conceptually, even assembled the parts and then took them apart again?
Yes. Many of them put them together and then have them delivered with hefty burly men to help get them into the armory without falling over or dropping any ornaments.
So obviously these can't be natural Christmas trees. They have to be artificial ones.
Correct. They are almost all artificial. We have a few that are fresh, live, potted trees, and those get watered through the event.
The reason I asked about the number of years you've been involved with it is because I was going to ask if you can still be surprised.
My goodness. This year we have a tree from the Star Wars theme. And the designer said it's going to be black and there's going to be a black cape. And there's going to be black ornaments. And I thought, oh my, what are we getting into? I tell you, Jeffrey, it is the coolest thing. If people are fans of Star Wars and Darth Vader, they have to come see this tree.
All right. And well-timed, I should say, too, for the Christmas
exactly.
premiere of whatever the next Star Wars movie, The Force
that's
Awakens,
right.
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. Well, yeah. See, it so permeates the culture. You know what's coming.
Awaken it.
So within the guidelines, and you want to make sure you review the concepts and stuff, mm-hmm. did anybody walk the edge a little too close
always,
to being risque? Sometimes?
Always. It is amazing to see. You know, these are professional designers who are really trying to either make a name for themselves or represent their business to get the attention of the crowd that's coming through. So I'm always surprised and amazed. Got to come see the trees so you can see what I'm talking about.
And I'm not asking for any sort of, you know, particularly sordid reason, but because mm-hmm. I do remember a tree a few years ago that looked like beer mats and beer mugs and things like that. I don't know if you remember that one.
That's one of our favorites. That's Ginger Johnson, Women Enjoying Beer. That's one of her businesses. So what better way to get in front of a crowd and let you know, kind of what she offers in terms of her business. And that was beer tasting, the appreciation of beer, and how to market to women. Imagine that, beer and women.
So do the people who we've worked with Ginger Johnson. She was working on a podcast
fantastic?
For us, Women Enjoying Beer.
Yes.
The process of getting into the festival in the first place, you want to put a tree in, are you then paying an entry fee to get in there as
no
well?
No entry fee, nope. But we do take applications, hold your breath, in January. So we start planning for the next year's event in January. So if folks are interested, they have to turn in the application. We have a committee that will look through and see, you know, both in terms of theme to make sure it's appropriate, but also understand that we don't have duplicates throughout the entire event. We have about 34 to 36 large trees, and then we do some tabletop and small trees as well. So if people have not designed before for us for a large tree, we ask them to start with a tabletop or a small tree so that we can see what kind of concepts they bring, and then they move to the larger tree after year two or three.
It's kind of like a farm system. You have the minor leagues
yeah,
of the tabletop
that's
trees.
That's right.
So there is a theme you mentioned. What's the theme for this year?
So this year we're calling it Dazzle and Delight, and we're hoping that you feel like you're in a snow globe when you walk into the armory. If you'll remember last year, we added some new drapery, put snowflakes up on the wall, and it really did feel like you were inside a snow globe. So that's the theme this year, Dazzle and Delight. And it's going to benefit some new focuses this year for us also. Of course, it's always benefited the foundation. It's the main fundraiser for our foundation, but we're going to highlight three special causes. One special cause is Swindells Resource Center. That's for families who have kids with special needs. It's the only one of its kind in the Valley, and it's solely dependent on financial support from the community. So that's one cause. We have breast cancer also, and you heard us back a few months ago talking about bringing 3D mammography to the Valley. So we want to make sure we're still supporting those breast cancer patients through the fundraising that we do here. And finally, the Mother Gamlin, named after our founder of Providence, Emily Gamlin. It's her charity care fund. And so if you're familiar with Providence, you know that we support the poor and vulnerable of the community. This charity care fund takes care of the most basic needs of those patients. So that can be anything from food to clothing, transportation, shelter, and so on.
You mentioned the Swindells Family Resource Center. What goes on there?
Yeah, so they help with working with the school district. If there's a child who's been identified as needing an IEP, it's kind of difficult to make your way being an advocate for your child. So we have staff who support that. We also do tons of support groups, especially bilingual. So our staff are bilingual, and it's an amazing opportunity to help break down some of those cultural barriers, especially when it comes to a label of a disability. What does it actually mean to have autism? Or what will life mean when a child with Down syndrome grows up? What options are there? And how do you work with lawyers and, you know, maybe a trust or something of that nature? And our staff are incredible. They are creative and they're responsive and supporting these families that we consider very vulnerable. When you have a lot of stress with a child with high needs, to intervene and support in the way that they need it is really what this resource center does best.
Katie Shepherd, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director at the Providence Community Health Foundation, which is the main organizer behind and the main beneficiary from the Providence Festival of Trees at the Medford Armory this week. You can join us. Questions or comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, over the you mentioned 523,000 was the take last year. You're hoping to bring in about that much this year. What's the number? It goes into the millions over the,
yes,
the life
now
of the Festival
of Trees.
Yes, now
we are at $7.5 million in 23 years of fundraising work.
I guess the question for some people would be, why does a hospital need a foundation?
Oh, that's a great question. So if you look at, a hospital system where we're serving patients in need, we are absolutely intervening, hopefully before there's a medical need, but also after, helping keep people healthy. A foundation helps support the advancement in technology and then also those most poor and vulnerable patients. So a good example is our breast center. We have the opportunity to support people through yoga, through nutrition classes, through just hand-holding while they're experiencing the woes of insurance billing and so on. And that's not something that a hospital can or should charge an insurance company for. Those are kind of soft services. Those soft services are the most important to those patients. If you're getting cancer treatments and you want to experience an art therapy class, who's going to pay for that? That's where the foundation comes in. And that's where donor dollars are really powerful. So if you're so moved by maybe a service, example, that art therapy opportunity, that's where donations come in, and you can help support exactly what a patient needs through our foundation.
But does the foundation buy hardware as well, or at least contribute to purchases of it?
Absolutely. If you want the best technology, it will always come through philanthropy. I think people who understand making big investments in, for example, the 3D mammography, that is going to intervene and help make a difference in the lives of women who potentially have cancer. We're going to find it sooner. The best way to do that is through donations to make sure the best technology is available.
All right. So some of the stuff that comes out of the foundation is going to be assisting in purchases of the hard medical stuff, but it sounds like the majority of the services you're talking about are things that really take care of the edges, the other stuff in life that still needs to be dealt with while you're undergoing medical treatment.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a critical piece of that patient care model, and it's something that I think donors and people who really are moved by the care and treatment through any kind of disease or life disaster always resonates with them to support others who are in need. Especially at Providence, that's our mission, is making sure we're taking care of poor and vulnerable. Well, who's the most vulnerable? Someone who's been in a car accident, someone who is dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and they are the most vulnerable. And boy, it doesn't matter your status, income, background, you name it. When there's a health scare, you need support, and that's what Providence does best.
How much of the foundation budget comes from the Festival of Trees? Is this your biggest fund, your biggest single
this
fundraiser?
This is our biggest single fundraiser. It will account for half of our goal for the entire year. Yeah. That's a big deal for us. That's why we put so much work into it and really come around and share the word with everybody that we want you to come to this event. And our goal, of course, is always going to be based on how well we did the year before. So the fact that we did so well last year is setting the goal for us this year, and hopefully we'll be able to outperform that.
You mentioned the Darth Vader tree. Or perhaps you, it's a Star Wars
tree.
It sure sounds like Darth Vader.
So, you get it first here.
So what else do you think that'll really be the eye poppers this
Fantastic
year?
Tree done in honor of Swindells Resource Center is our Winnie the Pooh tree. So if anybody's a fan of the 100 Acre Woods, come down and check that one out. That's going to be very special. The tree that's supporting the breast cancer tree is called Crystal Courage. It's inspired by a breast cancer patient. It's beautiful. It's just an absolutely breathtaking tree. It's so bright and truly speaks to those women that like those crystals and shiny things. We have traditional trees too, and some very creative trees this year that, from Mickey and Minnie to Monsters University, the kids are going to see things that will absolutely make them just squeal with delight.
How carefully, if at all, do you uh-huh. put out the message of the foundation within the Festival of Trees? Because, you know, pretty shiny things, happy Christmas all around.
Yeah.
And then over on the other hand, it's a benefit for people who get sick and injured and need medical help.
So this year, we're really trying to bring that feeling of providence into the Festival of Trees. And that's why we're focusing three trees on those specific causes. So as you walk around, those three trees will have the message of what the benefit is. We also have a teddy bear hospital. And that was started a few years ago just to remind people that this really is to benefit a hospital. And what better way to do that than to engage children in something that's fun, like getting your bear checked up. And it's also an opportunity, hopefully, to minimize some of the scare about, you know, if your bear needs to get a scan and they see a broken arm on the x-ray, it's an experience that the kids might have too. And they might, you know, pretend to be the doctor or the nurse and wrap up the bear's arm, and maybe they'll be inspired to be the next generation of doctors and caregivers.
So public viewing of the Christmas trees at the Providence Festival trees starting
Friday. Yep, Friday we open 10 a.m. and we'll close about 4. Friday is really exciting. Southern Oregon Orthopedics stepped up for a sponsorship. Seniors are free that day.
Okay.
And then Sunday kids are free.
All right. Katie Shepherd is the executive director of the Providence Community Health Foundation, which is behind and in front of, for that matter, as well, the Providence Festival of Trees. Katie, always good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.